The circle of intrigue surrounding the fall of the Texas energy giant Enron widened further today. The Treasury Department has revealed that a senior official there was contacted 6 to 8 times by Enron officials seeking help late last year, even after Enron's chairman had unsuccessfully contacted Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill.
And in Congress, staff for half a dozen committees are preparing for hearings into the matter as investigators look at how Enron became the largest company ever to go bankrupt in the United States. They're examining the roles played by federal regulatory agencies and by Congress, which made the rules that Enron and its regulators were supposed to follow. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
Enron's money certainly flowed freely in both parties, and plenty of lawmakers share Enron's devotion to free markets. There are stories of Enron Chairman Kenneth Lay at fundraisers starring everyone from President Bush to Texas Democratic Congressman Martin Frost. But of all of Enron's old congressional friends, none has been more enthusiastic than Republican Senator Phil Graham. He announced last September that he won't run again. He said the sweetness was going home to Texas.
The bitterness is that I will miss the arena and the cause and my colleagues and the challenge of doing the important, noble work.
Now there's something else he won't miss, a swirl of questions about his connections to Enron and those of his wife. Wendy Graham used to be chair of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. That's the commission that logically would regulate the kind of energy futures that Enron traded. Former Democratic Congressman Glenn English chaired a House subcommittee that oversaw the commission.
Wendy Graham was well recognized as having an attitude that the regulator who regulates least is the one who regulates best. She had an aversion to regulation. I think it was a deep-seated conviction that government should not be involved.
In 1992, Bill Clinton was elected president. Tyson Slocum of the advocacy group Public Citizen says things happened after that.
1 week after that election, Enron petitioned the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and asked them to not regulate energy derivative contracts. So that is a contract between two parties, say Enron and ExxonMobil. Wendy Graham initiated a rule change.
This was something that free market advocates wanted, and the Clinton administration never tried to undo it. After Graham left the Trading Commission, she soon joined the Enron Board of Directors. Enron's Ken Lay has said it's convoluted to suggest he was thanking her for what she did on the Trading Commission. Enron has also helped to underwrite the Mercatus Center, an institution where Wendy Graham is now a scholar. It's at George Mason University in Northern Virginia. Wendy Graham is declining interview requests. Her husband had his press secretary put out a statement denying any involvement in a certain bill that also advanced Enron's interests. In the bill, called the Commodity Futures Modernization Act of 2000, one provision granted a broader deregulation of energy derivatives. Again, Tyson Slocum.
Prior to that law, all electricity and other futures commodities had to be traded in a public open exchange, like the New York Mercantile Exchange. With this law, Enron was allowed to operate an unregulated power auction where it could buy and sell and trade electricity free from regulatory scrutiny.
This is also something many people wanted. Enron was an aggressive player in a lobbying coalition. The provision was added to the commodities bill and passed by the Senate in 1 day. It was December 2000, days after the Supreme Court ended the presidential recount. Congress had to pass a big spending package, and the entire commodities bill was added onto that. The commodities bill had two co-sponsors, Graham as head of the Banking Committee, and Indiana Republican Richard Lugar, chairman of the Agriculture Committee. Graham's office says Lugar added the provision on energy derivatives. Lugar's office says they didn't, that it seemed to come from the House, and they certainly never spoke to Enron about it. The mystery of that provision and its origin may be among the questions expected to spark the congressional hearings, due to begin later this month. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.